In this edition of Midday on Media, two shakeups in the world of television. Earlier this month, NBC Nightly News anchor Brian Williams was suspended for misrepresenting events during his coverage of the Iraq War. Williams falsely claimed that he was aboard a helicopter forced down by enemy fire. Has his credibility been permanently damaged? Should Williams have been fired? And Jon Stewart, host of Comedy Central's The Daily Show, has announced that he will step down later this year. Baltimore Sun critic David Zurawick joins us as we take a look at how the role of anchors has changed and how the lines between journalist and personality have been blurred. Midday on Media with David Z after the news. Welcome back to Midday, our second hour, time for Midday on Media, a monthly visit with David Zurawick, the media critic of the Baltimore Sun, who blogs at Z on TV. Nice to see you, David.
Happy to be here, Dan.
David was up all night, and as you can see from his post at BaltimoreSun.com, if you go there now, you'll see that David was up all night binge viewing season three of House of Cards.
Yes.
So are you okay? His eyes are bloodshot. You don't look that great today, Dave.
I never look that great.
No, you've had better days. So this is the reason, though.
I have a good excuse. It was a little bit of a grind, and it wasn't by choice, but that was my test. What happened was we have been trying for access of some kind. Last year they did, like, press interviews. The year before, first season, I had great access out on the set and all that in Harford County. We've been going back and forth with them about access, because we wanted to advance it in this Sunday Sun, you know? And they came back at first and said, no, you're not going to be able to. The first time you can write about this is March 1st, 2 days after it drops on February 27th. Everybody's seen it. And, you know, my editor's like, Zurawick, try to explain them. Yeah, that ain't good. It's not going to work for us.
That makes sense.
So I thought we were just, it was just us maybe or something, but I think that was the plan. But then, so yesterday I wrote them back again and said, hey, we have to come up with something because we need to figure out what we're going to do Sunday. And they came back and said, oh, if you go to this website and sign this, blah, 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 you'll get access today, later today, to be able to see the first 6 hours. So this is like last night. I was now able to see the first 6 hours. So to me, it was an endurance test. This is reporting. You know, this is reporting. Can you stand outside in the rain or in the snow get the story? Can you stay at the auto talks in Detroit till your legs fall off and somebody comes out and tells you what we got an agreement? So my thinking was, yeah, I can do it. The good news is I thought about 3 hours into it. I thought the good news, this is still binge-worthy. If I didn't have to do it, as tired as I was, I might not have done it all in one gulp last night, but I would have still binge-watched it. They really have that set up, so in the last 5 minutes, you're clicking. You want to click on to the next episode.
Okay. Kevin Spacey, Robin Wright et al.
Yes.
In the third season now of House of Cards, and you watched six?
Six.
Did you watch all six?
Yeah, I watched all six.
And then there's more after that.
There's seven more, so that's about half a season, and it's really at a good dramatic point. I really respect people who love that and the experience of February 27th when they can watch it. I don't want in any way diminish it, and I promised these people to gain access that I wasn't going to give spoilers and ethically and morally, I'm fine with that because I don't want to ruin it for the viewers as well.
But
I do have to tell you, Dan, watching it, I was watching it out in the living room on a computer. My wife was in the bedroom, and about for the first two or three times, she came out to ask if something was wrong when I went like, holy cows, you know.
Oh, really?
I had headphones on.
Really?
I didn't realize it.
It was good,
yeah,
huh?
There were,
that
there,
good?
Yeah, there were twists. Frank is really still a transgressive, nasty guy.
Three things, then, I'll ask the listeners for in this hour of the show. Do you binge-watch House of Cards? If you're a House of Cards fan, do you find that you have to binge and you just can't resist? Or do you space it out over time you're watching on Netflix? That's the first question today, 410-662-8780. Question number two, should Brian Williams have been fired from NBC? What did you think of his suspension? This is the first time we've had a chance to talk about it with David Zurawiec here on Midday, and we would like to hear from our listeners on that. Do you think the suspension was enough? Can he regain his credibility? Do you think he should have been fired? And also, what do you think is that will be the legacy of Jon Stewart and The Daily Show? If you've been a viewer for a few years off and on or full-time, The Daily Show, how would you describe what he's leaving behind in terms of his impact on television? Those are the three questions.
You know,
for
I have
show.
Very strong opinions on Brian Williams.
All right, let's go to that. Let's go to Brian Williams then. Headline, David Zurawiec, February 15th, his commentary in the Baltimore Sun, Zeon TV. Brian Williams' fall reminds networks on the cost of ignoring journalism.
Yeah. You know, Dan, right after, I heard on a Wednesday night about the story in Stars and Stripes that really nailed down the facts on this. It started on Facebook. People heard him say it on the news that he had been on a helicopter in 2003 in Iraq that was hit by a rocket propelled grenade and went down.
And he repeated this recently.
Yes, that was it, yeah.
Which is what got Stars and Stripes on the story again.
Exactly.
Or at least this time.
Yeah, he repeated it on his newscast on a Friday night. Yeah. By Monday, that weekend and Monday, people on Facebook, soldiers who were in those copters, said, not exactly, Brian, blah, blah, blah. Stars and Stripes jumped on it and did excellent journalism. Talked to him, confirmed facts, had a chronology of all the times he's told this story in different places. It was amazing. That broke on a Wednesday night. Say 8 o'clock. I remember seeing it, and by 8:30, I had a lead that said, if NBC cares at all about credibility, this guy should be gone by the end of the week.
I said
he probably won't be, but 10 or 15 years ago, he would have been, but he should be. And here was my argument.
I don't understand the won't be, because there's been other recent cases of reporters who made up stories or plagiarized who are gone from the places where they worked.
It's interesting. Dan, that's one of the interesting sidelights of this, or sidebars, is that many of my colleagues went much further and said Brian Williams is too big to fail. He makes too much money. He's the number one anchor for NBC. He makes too much money for that network. They make $30 million a year more than second place ABC at Nightly News, and they make $50 million more than third place CBS, and they make $200 million with that newscast a year. They said they are not going to get rid of them, which to me, well, here's what's amazing. Most of those people are media reporters or critics, and they are already so socialized or so acculturated to a sense of cynicism about the media. They've already accepted that journalism means nothing. It's all about how much money you can make, okay? I didn't think...
Sort of the corporate view, isn't
yes.
it?
Well, that's...
A corporatized view of things rather than being a detached, objective
exactly,
critic.
Exactly. And I know how they got there, but... So that made me say, I don't think he'd be gone by Friday. One, the other thing is this is a lot of money. NBC's going to waffle. They're going to try to stonewall it for a while, guts it out, which is exactly what they did. But he was off the air... Actually, by Saturday, he took himself off the air,
right.
And he was on a six-month probation, I think, by the next Wednesday. So it did happen almost as fast as I said it should have happened if they had credibility. What I'm saying there is, you know, if there's any silver lining, it's that the networks, like NBC, were reminded, don't ignore journalism. Journalism can be good business, because if you ignore it, it's going to cost you money like this. Plus, they're stuck with a $50 million contract with them for 5 years, although I think they'll be able to get out of it.
Well, where do they ignore it? And what in Brian Williams' profile, which has gone beyond as a newsman, you know, he's sort of stepped into the entertainment lights a bit at NBC.
Yeah,
right?
In terms of, don't forget, Brian Williams was managing editor of this as well, and he was the most powerful single NBC news executive. When Comcast came in, they still don't know how to run a national news operation. They just left him alone. He had all the power in that newsroom. You crossed him, you didn't get airtime. You didn't get on. That's why people at NBC who knew this, who knew he was lying, wouldn't say anything, because they knew it would end his career. So this is the guy making the decisions about what gets how much airtime on the nightly news. And not just there, Dan. Here's an example. They gave them a primetime news magazine, which is an expensive proposition, giving them an hour of primetime every week for Rock Center. What is one of the first things he does? He hires Chelsea Clinton at $600,000 a year,
right,
and talks about what a great, how she's bit, what a fine journalist she is. She didn't have a lick of journalism training. In fact, on the 2008 campaign trail, she wouldn't even, her mother's campaign trail, she wouldn't even talk to reporters. Now, all of a sudden, Brian Williams doesn't just give her time to do reports. He brings her out and sits her on the set like she's Christiane Amanpour.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, somebody
who
earned
that.
It.
Yeah.
That's the first thing.
So he just made that up, too.
Yeah.
Right?
He just made up
that Chelsea Clinton is an excellent journalist.
He was so big he thought he could do that. But
what about slow jamming the news with Jimmy Fallon? Stuff like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, listen, in this day and age, people have to promote themselves as a brand. You and I understand that. We do it, you know, so I'm not going to...
Wasn't his brand Newsman?
Well, this is the difference. You and I say at the top of that brand is news. Nothing is more important. And if we have to sacrifice stuff, we will. He totally embraced the showbiz aspects of the job and ignored the journalism. That's exactly what I'm saying. You know, don't forget, remember the Charlie Hebdo shooting when they had it dead wrong, Pete Williams, the national justice correspondent out of Washington, had it dead wrong that the gunmen were dead or in captivity when they weren't. That was on the NBC Nightly News. The next night, they gave it about 20 seconds and said, they didn't even say we were wrong. They didn't even put it as a pure correction. They said two sources gave Pete Williams bad information, and like they were going to...
Yeah.
Target them. Not like we published bad information because we're morons and we don't check anything.
Yeah.
That wasn't the tone of it. And think back to the Columbia Mall shooting.
I was just going to say, they got something wrong on the Columbia Mall shooting, too, because they wanted to be first with it.
Pete Williams again on Nightly News.
It was on a Saturday. I'll never forget this.
NBC Nightly News tweet. NBC Nightly News Pete Williams. Sources tell Pete, Justice Department source tells Pete Williams this was a domestic shooting. Everybody,
no, that's it, right?
Yeah,
that's
everybody's looking for a motive.
Yeah. Well, he had a motive before we even knew the details of the shooting.
And it turned out it was dead wrong. The 9,000 police agencies looked for a motive and couldn't find one.
Right.
And just think, you know it. You were probably in there. And I was working from home that day, but writing my butt off about it. The incredible, when I wrote about this the first time, how outrageous it was that they got it wrong, Dan, and then they wouldn't acknowledge it. I kept calling up NBC News and asking to speak to Pete Williams. Oh, you can't speak. Pete's moved on to other stories. Why do you keep calling us about this? And I said, you know why? Because one of the worst things you can do in journalism is be dead wrong. But you know what's even worse than that? Being dead wrong and hurting victims. And the woman who was killed, her family was very upset that you guys said essentially that she had a relationship with the man who killed her. That's as bad as it gets in journalism. You guys can't talk about that. You don't even want to talk about it because Pete's moved on. And his boss, Brian Williams, won't get on the phone and answer. Nobody had to tell me how much that guy had abrogated his duties as a journalist. This is God punishing him.
So where are we now with Brian Williams, though? Brian Williams has been suspended. He comes back after 6 months. Do people expect him to come back?
I think there's almost no one left in the industry who believes he's going to come back after 6 months. You know, if you saw that the Saturday Night Live at 40 event Sunday night on NBC, that was a big deal, their 40th anniversary. Jim Carrey gets out on the red carpet with Matt Lauer and says, "Where are you hiding Brian Williams? Where's Brian Williams?" Mocking him. Jerry Seinfeld gets up there and says, "Hey, you might not know this, but Brian Williams was in the original cast of SNL in 1975.
I think that's so.
They're mocking them corporally.
Yeah,
He's not coming back. You know.
So why didn't they just fire him? Because, David, you saying it's about money? So they're holding out the hope that in 6 months this will blow over and he'll come back? Because that's what you're suggesting.
Yeah, I think the reason they didn't fire him is because, again, Comcast doesn't understand, I'm not going to say what I really believe right here about Comcast. I should think it through.
Who's the president of NBC? Who are these guys?
Comcast owns NBC.
Yeah, but who's the...
Deborah Turnus, the news president,
is
a joke. I mean, it's an... They brought her from the BBC because she's from the BBO, from the BBC. She sent out a memo saying to everybody, we had a great, you know, one of those, we had a great week. What great journalists we are here at NBC. And she praised a piece by Cynthia McFadden on Valerie Jarrett, the White House person, saying this was an exclusive. Valerie Jarrett in the White House was all over the TV trying to sell one of President Obama's agendas. But here's the way that piece started. The piece starts, it's dawn at the White House. And on the bottom of the screen, like the, it clicks like on 24 with the time, mm-hmm. the clock ticks and says, yeah, 7:38 a.m. And it's dawn, and Valerie Jarrett arrived.
Sorry.
And underneath it says 7:30
up. What does it get to do with Brian Williams?
Because she praised this report, and it shows she never even looked at it. Because how would you praise a report that says dawn at the top?
At 7:30.
At 7:30. I looked it up. What was dawn that day in Washington? Because I'm a lunatic. Right. Okay. I looked it up. It was 4:45 a.m.
You said she's from the BBC. Maybe they have a different, it's Greenwich Mean Time or something.
That's it.
It's a different time.
That's it.
She still has jet lag or something. Okay, I'm going to stop here. We're going to take a phone call.
Good idea.
Yeah. Please tell us what you think. Do you agree that Brian Williams should have been fired? What do you think is going on here? What was the other question I had? Oh, are you a binge watcher when it comes to House of Cards?
Yeah.
And then your comments about Jon Stewart as well for David Zerwick from The Sun. Let's take a call before our first break. Phil in Hamden. Thanks for calling the show, Phil.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
How are you all doing?
Good.
I definitely think Brian Williams should be fired, you know, for misrepresenting something like that. And if I recall, some people have been fired from various radio or TV positions just for expressing an opinion on something. So I think there was a man whose last name is Williams a few years ago for National Public Radio just because he admitted he might be afraid to go on an airplane.
Juan Williams, buses. Yeah.
Yeah. Afraid. I mean, that's just giving an opinion on something.
Right.
And you know, this is an actual misrepresentation of facts that, you know, it's pretty bad when you do something like that. You're becoming almost like he's making that up just to help his image or something like that, you know?
Well, certainly, David.
By the way,
I thought about this a lot. It didn't actually take me long to conclude,
Phil,
that he needed to go. Yeah, thanks, Phil. You're in a war zone and you're making up a story about whether your life was in danger or not, whether you're in a helicopter, whether your helicopter was hit. You conflate that with some other real thing that happened an hour earlier or something. We don't do that. If we do that, we don't get away with it.
No, and I'll tell you something else. That's what really upset me about this. It wasn't just that he lied. It was the nature of the lie. You know, people who go and serve in those wars, a lot, the ones who are lucky enough to come home, their families sometimes live with the scars and the wounds of those wars for generations within the family. They pay a price. And what do they get out of it? One of the things, hopefully, that they get, which is hard to measure and it's kind of intangible, but they behaved honorably and they've gained some honor by that. You know what I'm saying? So here comes this hot dog anchorman who's nowhere near the kind of danger they are in, and he tries to appropriate some of their honor for himself by making up a story. I don't know how any service family or anybody who knows anybody in the service or cares about him or lost anyone could ever look at him reading the nightly news and not feel total contempt. That's why one of the reasons I don't think he'll be back. It was really a kind of a despicable lie that he told. I mean, not all lies are despicable, I guess, but this one, in trying to steal honor from people who served honorably, that's outrageous.
David Zerwick from the Baltimore Sun, media critic there, joining us for Midday on Media. That's our show this hour, 410-662-8780. David joins us once a month, the third Wednesday of every month. We'd like to hear from you, 410-662-8780. Do you think Brian Williams should have been fired? Do you think he should be fired? He hasn't been fired yet. Your comments about Jon Stewart's tenure at The Daily Show and Netflix and binge watching. Those are the three questions we have out there for our listeners today. 410-662-8780. This is the headline on David's latest post at the Sun on at BaltimoreSun.com. House of Cards Season 3, still binge-worthy viewing. Don't think you'll be going to bed early February 27th when the season drops. Ryan in Baltimore. Ryan's a binge watcher, are you?
Oh, most definitely. We binge watched it all in one day, basically, when the season 2 dropped, and we've been waiting all year for this one, my girlfriend and I.
All right, can I do that? Ryan, hold on a second. Excuse me, Ryan. Sorry. Sometimes the listeners can't hear me when I interject something, and it sounds like I'm cutting them off, and I don't mean to. Yeah. But I'm trying to figure out if you watch all day, all episodes in one day.
Yeah.
How many hours is that?
When it dropped, we watched them all consistently, all the way through.
Okay, but how much of the day does that take up? How many hours is that?
Oh, it was well into the next day. I mean, it was probably 4 in the morning when we stopped.
Okay.
Now, Ryan, did you and the person you watch with watch together, right? Though.
Yeah.
Didn't that get complicated too? Like, oh, I think I'm going to take a break, and that's and you go okay, and then you know he or she comes back, and you've gone through two more episodes.
My girlfriend, I think, is a good match for me. Oh. We didn't run into too many issues that
okay,
way.
Okay, good. Good for you.
Now, can you safely say, Ryan, that season 1, season 2, that the binge wasn't something you just chose to do, but you actually had to do because you felt at the end of each episode, I want to see the next one. Give me another hit. You're at the bar. Give me another one. Is it like that?
I think David nailed it, and I'm happy to hear that season 3 is the same way, where literally the last 5 minutes of the episode make you almost need to have some kind of closure.
Hit me.
To whatever just came up. So it is, it's almost made to be binge-worthy and binge-watch.
Okay, that's what I was getting at.
That's really cool, Ryan. That's great. And, you know, my one question is it now, you know, for me, part of this fun of this show is actually binge-watching it. It's like I can't imagine watching it like a sane
person.
Any
other way, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's funny. Thank you very much, Ryan. Appreciate that.
Good luck, man. You'll enjoy it on the 27th.
You know, remember the TV show 24? Well, you referenced it a little while ago. Jack Bauer.
Yeah.
You know, Kiefer Sutherland.
Sutherland, yeah.
So I was behind on the first or second season. It was already the third season.
Right.
And people have been talking about
it.
Remember, it was a phenomenon.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was huge. Yeah.
So we decided to, this was in the age of VHS.
Yeah.
Remember that? We decided to binge the first two seasons. And it was like Friday night till Sunday night.
Yeah,
past 60 minutes time.
But it was good when you were in it.
It was good.
Yeah,
we actually
it's a great
did it.
Experience.
It was a weekend like this, too. The weather, you know, you didn't go outside anyway. Back to the subject of Brian Williams. We'd like to hear from our listeners on this. Herman in Owings Mills, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I just wondered how much of an influence the ratings have to do with how much lying is done. Ratings seem to be the big thing. Can you respond to that?
Sure. Herman, I don't think he necessarily lied to get ratings or there was a direct correlation of any kind between that, although they did want to pump up that brand. But I think ratings were a key factor in this respect. I think because he was number one in the evening news overall with overall viewership, about 9 million plus viewers, which is a very large audience. They talk about evening news as a dinosaur, but I'll take 9 million plus viewers. But because he did that, and because he made $200 million a year for NBC, and that was more than ABC or CBS, they left him alone. And even if people knew he lied, was lying in speaking engagements or in his bio, or in this case, even on the air, they didn't call him on it because he was they thought he was so valuable to it. And I think Comcast's orientation, not coming from the kind of history of news that CBS had. NBC had a great history of news. NBC News was once a great news organization back in the days when they did White Papers. It was some of the finest documentaries.
Huntley Brinkley.
Yeah. Reuven Frank was a great news director. News president there. But I do think ratings made a difference. If he would have not been number one, he would have not had this kind of leeway. But it was also that Comcast is so ratings oriented and doesn't seem to get it about the importance of balancing all your showbiz stuff with journalism, because in the end, what you are selling is credibility. And when you lose that, the dollar signs start falling through the floor and they don't wind up in your pocket anymore. And I think that's what's going on.
Mary and Laurel, you're up next. Welcome to Midday.
Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Regarding Brian Williams and the suspension, I kind of feel like they handled it right. At the time, I know I watched that night when he made the reference about being on the helicopter, and I kind of, my ears picked up because I had not heard that before. And then there seemed to be this kind of growing buzz about it, and I was thinking, well, gee, just one mistake. But as time went on, it became very evident that he had a history of this. And I think if they had fired him right away after being the number one newscaster with 9 million viewers, people might have thought, well, gee, that seems pretty abrupt. But by suspending him without pay, that was very serious. And it also gives NBC time to come up with an alternative. I mean, to me, I don't think they have a very deep bench, with the exception of Lester Holt, to come in and take over.
Hmm.
They got rid of David Gregory, so they just, you know, kicked him out the door for a variety of, because the ratings on Meet the Press weren't very good. But I don't know. I mean, Lester Holt is good, but he's not somebody I'm particularly, you know, in favor of. The other thing I thought was interesting was that Brian Williams really doesn't have much reporting experience, and he was actually recruited by Tom Brokaw to come in and be his replacement, and he was groomed for that by Brokaw. And I guess their relationship has sort of soured, but so even though he didn't really have real reporting background, serious reporting background before he took that position, I think because he had the support of Tom Brokaw, that also, you know, gave him a lot of credibility within NBC.
David, what about Mary's idea that they're buying time to find somebody to replace him? Do you
yeah.
think that could be what's
oh,
going
I,
on?
Oh, I think there? Mary's absolutely right. I think this was totally a kind of corporate decision, and I don't fault them for thinking this is what we need to do. We need time. First of all, we need the Fuhrer to die down. We need to not see him through this lens of total ridicule that he's now in on social media and the internet. And we need to think this thing through. Plus, by the way, we've just signed him to a 5-year, $50 million contract in December. We got to figure something out about that. And I think I see what's happening. There was a leak to one of the New York publications this week that said there's a clause in Brian Williams' contract. Now, this is, you know, anonymous sources, blah, 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 that says they can get out of this contract for various moral things, blah, 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 but they can also get out of it if he becomes an object of ridicule. Well, this was Monday, right after the Saturday Night Live
special,
where
yeah.
he was nothing but an object of ridicule. I think they're going to be able to get out of this. No, again, Comcast being a corporation, I think they settle this with him, you know, with so many cents on a dollar. I don't think he gets full value on this. But I don't think he's ever going to come back. I thought he should have been. Mary's right in terms of if you're running a corporation, how do you handle this? It's probably not a bad thing. I have the luxury, you know, as a critic, a media critic, of saying what I think should be done and ethically and morally what should happen. And I'll tell you what, even by 2 days into this, 3 days, we knew that he definitely had lied about that helicopter, that chopper in Iraq. That's enough for me to say we cannot have the managing editor, the leader of our flagship newscast operation, be a known liar. Why would anybody watch us?
Melissa in Baltimore, you're up next on Midday. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling.
Hi, I wanted to give my opinion as a military spouse. Having been through 3 combat deployments, Iraq and Afghanistan twice, with an infantry Marine, we as spouses, unfortunately, the news provides us with a lot of data about what is going on with our husbands and fathers away. So we put a lot of trust in what we hear. Also, the fact that, as you were saying before, what happens when these people come home that actually experience this type of thing? I think it's very disrespectful, and I think it's almost something that now as military, we won't look at news the same, especially NBC or Brian Williams, both the organizations, because it is about money. We understand that, and, you know, we always say something like, you know, our husbands aren't valuable enough until they're dead. Because we don't make any money. Most military families I know are actually on food stamps. But when they die, that's when we get this big chunk of money that's supposed to, you know, help us with that. And we definitely appreciate that. But it's more of kind of like, oh, well, I guess money is more important than honor and, you know, our husbands and fathers' sacrifices that they make. Because I've been in the homes and been to the funerals of those guys that were killed with helicopters down, and I babysat their children while mom, you know, grieved. So I think it's important that NBC do the right thing regardless of money.
Melissa, that's so fabulous. I'm so glad. I wish I had your voice in some of my pieces that I wrote about this. You just totally articulated what I was trying to say about it and spoke from an experience that I don't have. Really, thanks. That is so great for me to hear your voice.
Let me share a couple of comments that came in on Facebook, and then we'll take a break, come back, and take some more phone calls. Also, we'll talk about Jon Stewart in The Daily Show.
Yeah.
Gabrielle says, Brian Williams should have been fired. As a journalist, he should be able to remember the salient details of a story, especially one he was involved in. It's not as if he was in so many under-fire situations in Iraq, like a combat vet, that he had muddled the details of one combat mission versus another. The ego involved there is just incredible to me.
Yeah, the ego. Thank you. That's
Carol.
Sorry.
Yeah. Carol says politicians are expected to embellish and speak the truth that is convenient for them to win elections. When journalism is entertainment or the organ of a particular political ideology, we all suffer.
That's great.
Go to Dan Roderick's Facebook page and post more comments or send me an email, midday@wypr.org. We'll take some more phone calls about Brian Williams. I got an email here about Netflix. Someone who doesn't binge watch, a more disciplined heavy drinker,
a sane person.
And what do we do? Oh,
why are they listening to us?
We got some clips from the Daily Show share and talk about
Jon
Stewart. A short break here. Dan Roderick's with David Zurich. We'll be right back. Anne says, Brian Williams seems to always enjoy blurring the lines between reporting the news and being a celebrity. He seems to revel in it, and I have enjoyed seeing him on talk shows. He likes being an entertainer, but didn't see the danger in doing so. That's Anne's comment by email. Now, here's Marcia's comment on House of Cards and binge-watching. We heard from Ryan earlier, who binge-watches over a two-day period with his girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
Marcia says, my husband and I do not binge watch House of Cards. Rather, we watch one or two episodes a night. The joy is stretching it out so we have time to absorb the episodes.
It's good.
We also watch the BBC and the original House of Cards so we know how it all turns out.
Well, you know, don't be too sure that know, I talked to Bo Williman, the writer and showrunner. Don't be too sure it'll turn out the way that one. I saw the original too when it first aired and I loved it. And you know what? That's a sane way to watch. I mean, you know, I think maybe this is my binge watching. Well, this one was forced, but I've done it with the other two seasons. It may be me trying to be of the moment. Probably if I acted my age, I'd probably watch it just the way you are. But I've never learned how to do that. So
410-662-8780, the number for Midday on Media. Dan Roderick's here with David Zurowick, my colleague from the Baltimore Sun, the media critic for The Sun and BaltimoreSun.com. Comment from Tom in Baltimore. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Good.
I guess my question is, I understand, you know, what Brian did was wrong, and, you know, I have no problem if he's fired for that, but I don't understand why this particular incident is garnered so much attention, because the idea that journalists lie to us, it doesn't seem like something new. I mean, I could just think of offhand when the Affordable Care Act was coming out, and on Fox News they had the death panels and the, you know, if you don't buy insurance, you're going to go to jail and stuff like that. And why, you know, why isn't there a call for for those people to be reprimanded or fired for those comments?
I can say, I think, first of all, people have been fired for making up stories and for plagiarizing at newspapers and in broadcasting as well. I wish I could think of more examples in broadcasting. I can't. I know plenty, unfortunately, in the newspaper business or magazine writing.
Oh, yeah.
Several come to mind, including a couple of colleagues of ours at The Sun once upon a time. Okay. So that does happen. You are fired. So to answer the question, why the hubbub over Brian Williams and not over some of the things that are stated on television at Fox News? You take a shot at that.
Listen, I think part of it is that he tried to steal honor from people, and we just heard from a service family member who talked about that. That's still a very powerful chord, I think, in the national psyche, especially for baby boomers who, because of their parents' involvement in World War II, were raised in a culture that was very sensitive to people who came back or didn't come back from the war and people who lied about what they did in the war. It was a very big sin, and that's what he tapped in to there. The second thing, Tom, is you're talking really about Fox and MSNBC, which are two channels that are overtly political and that really, you know, announce their ideology and, in fact, I think behave egregiously sometimes as political channels of political information that is not journalism as I think of it. I think if Brian Williams had been a host on one of those shows, on one of those two channels, the outrage might not have been so great, but I think, again, because it involved the military, he would have been bucking this again. Yeah.
All right, David, thank you. We're going to go to the Jon Stewart story now. You know, David was binge-watching House of Cards. So as he was speaking just then, he had his eyes closed.
Listen, I was
and I'm trying to get your attention.
That's because I was trying to concentrate.
I know, David. And you didn't just do that because you're tired.
No, I'm trying to.
You often do that.
But listen, last week I was waiting for I was doing an Anderson Cooper show from downtown in Baltimore next to the courthouse.
Did you have your eyes closed?
And I had my eyes closed. Oh. And I said, Zerwick, don't close your eyes. You're going to sleep. You started at 7 a.m. It's 8:30 p.m. Stop. Pay attention. What's Anderson?
Were you actually on camera with your eyes closed?
No, of course not.
No, you didn't. Okay.
No, I was meditating. Yeah. That's how I clear my head. That's why I come out like a lunatic, because I clear my head of all the madness, and then it comes rushing back in.
Here's Jon Stewart of The Daily Show commenting on all the social media reaction to news that he's going to retire as the host of The Daily Show by the end of the year.
Did I die? Because it all seems very, I died. It's very weird. It's an overwhelming day here, as you can imagine, and people have been asking, and I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do next, but and I'm not trying to brag, some offers have been coming in.
Even fast food chain Arby's got in on the fun, tweeting, John, feel free to reach out to us at careers@arbys.com.
You know what? Working there might be fun. I guess my only question as a future employee would be, to work there, would I have to handle, serve, touch, eat, or even look at what you so generously describe as food? That's right, Arby's. This thing ain't over.
Hey, couple other clips I wanted to share. Yeah. Jon Stewart, in 2009, this is a famous moment. This takes a couple minutes to listen to. This is with Jim Cramer from Mad Money on CNBC, and Stewart went after him on, you know, what were you doing? He talks about shoddy reporting in the walk-up to the financial meltdown that led to the Great Recession. So he put him on the spot about this in 2009.
What is the responsibility of the people who cover Wall Street? Who are you responsible to? The people in the 401ks and the pensions and the general public, or the Wall Street traders
And by the way, this casts aspersion on all of Wall Street when that's unfair as well. The majority of those guys are working their asses off. They're really bright guys. I know a lot of them. They're just trying to do the right thing, and they're getting in this too.
True. True. I think that as a network, we produce a lot of interviews where I think that there have been people who have not told the truth. Should we have been constantly pointing out the mistakes that were made? Absolutely. I surely wish we had done more. I think that we've been very tough on the previous Treasury Secretary, very tough on the previous administration, how they didn't get it, very tough on Ben Bernanke. But at the same time,
he's the guy, Paulson's the guy who wrote the rule that allowed people to over-leverage.
Well, I trash him every night. I've called him a liar on TV. What am I going to do? Should we all call him liars? I'm a commentator. We have, and you could take issue with the fact that I throw bulls and bears and I can still be considered serious. I'm not Eric Severat. I'm not Edward R. Murrow. I'm a guy trying to do an entertainment show about business for people to watch. But it's difficult to have a reporter say, I just came from an interview with Hank Paulson, and he lied his darn fool head off. It's difficult. I think it challenges the boundaries.
Yeah, I mean, I'm under the assumption, and maybe this is purely ridiculous, but I'm under the assumption that you don't just take their word at face value, that you actually then go around and try and figure it out. So, you now have become the face of this, and that is incredibly unfortunate.
I wish I had done a better job trying to figure out the 30-1 and whether it was going to blow up. It did. Once it did, I was late in saying that it was bad.
It didn't work. So maybe we could remove the financial expert and the Cramer we trust and start getting back to fundamentals on the reporting as well. And I can go back to making fart noises and funny faces.
Frank writes by email, I'm sad to see Jon Stewart leaving The Daily Show. Throughout his tenure, he has skewered many sacred cows, but always in a nice way, allowing his subjects to make themselves look ridiculous in their own words. He rightly took Brian Williams to task for lying, but also took media in general to task for their many failures and not seriously questioning statements made by politicos and enablers in the lead-up to the Iraq War. The second part was missed by the media as they continue to dogpile on Brian Williams. The media has never and does not really hold itself up to scrutiny as it should.
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised because that is one of the—that's the kind—listen, Jon Stewart's genius, comedic genius, but he is fully capable of ducking, pulling punches for his friends, showing favoritism, and intellectual dishonesty. Because he didn't want to go after Brian Williams, he was slow getting there. And when he finally did, what it mainly was, yeah, Brian did some bad stuff, but compared to what the press that's now piling on him, how horribly it behaved during the run-up to the Iraq War, it's nothing. Well, you know what? I don't cover, do they have weapons of mass destruction in Iraq? I cover the media. I cover Brian Williams, honestly, just like I did. You know what he just did with Cramer? I did 2 weeks earlier with Ali Velshi at the same time on CNN on a Sunday morning. I was on Reliable Sources with Howie Kurtz, and I trashed Velshi. The next week when I was on, they brought Velshi on live from New York and didn't tell me that he was going to come out and attack me. He's waving paper like Joe McCarthy saying, you said I failed during the blah, blah, blah. You don't know this.
What was the point you were making?
My point was Ali Velshi, Cramer, all same one Jon Stewart made. All of these so-called financial analysts seemed to not report that we were on the verge of an economic meltdown, the greatest since the Great Depression. Where the hell were these guys?
And how did he defend himself? What paper was he holding up?
Velshi defended himself. He had a printout of some report he did among the 500 that he did saying things were going well. One, he said, hey, there might be a cloud on the horizon.
Okay, I get
actually,
you.
He was right. In New York. I bet you he didn't have anything on a paper. It was like Joe McCarthy's list of communists in the State Department.
Okay.
But Jon Stewart did that. Remember Anthony Weiner, his friend? He attacked CNN for reporting that Anthony Weiner was sexting. So
right.
Don't tell me.
All right, he's
I like
capable
him,
of that. I see
yeah,
that.
Okay,
I see
you.
That.
Thank
but
you.
But all the other work that he's done. Let's talk about the other work
I said
done.
He's bigger than Carson. He may be more important to the culture than Johnny Carson, which got me a million people saying, Zerwick, you're a moron. But I really believe that. He brought young people in. He brought he brought politics into primetime and found a way to talk about them that made young people interested in them and, I think, engaged them in the national political conversation. That is a huge cultural contribution.
Here's another excerpt from The Daily Show. The Daily Show's first episode following the 9/11 attacks.
Wow.
Tonight's show is not obviously a regular show. We looked through the vault. We found some clips that we thought might make you smile, which is really what's necessary, I think, right about now. And a lot of folks have asked me, what are you going to do when you get back? What are you going to say? I mean, that, geez, what a terrible thing to have to do. And I don't see it as a burden at all. I see it as a privilege. And I see it as a privilege, and everyone here does see it that way.
Here's an interesting comment on Twitter, David, from Noel, who points out that when we were having our earlier discussion today about immigration, the president's executive action on immigration, this court decision down in Texas, and the GOP Congress, the GOP House's attempts to rein in the president's power on this. Joel says that when you had your immigration discussion earlier, I searched YouTube for a Jon Stewart clip on Republican hypocrisy about it. He said he is that important to the conversation on most national issues.
That's good. It's exactly it. That's exactly it. Yeah. It's also interesting that where he's going is YouTube to find out about Jon Stewart. That's a very different landscape that he's visiting than legacy media, you know, and a lot of people are on that track. That's really interesting. You want YouTube to find Stewart. Yeah, great.
Another comment on Twitter, this one on Brian Williams from Micro Sane, who says Brian Williams should be fired. He is obviously not a journalist, not a reporter, one to uphold the virtue of his profession.
Yeah, I think he has. I think he makes it more difficult for all of us. I think this is his behavior, Dan, is exactly why people have contempt for the press. They lump us all together, and they look at him as a rich elite, takes Hillary Clinton's daughter, gives her a job, doesn't care, pays her three times what foreign correspondents for NBC, who are actually under fire, some of the young correspondents, two or three times what they're making. And that's his journalistic value.
We have just a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
As for the Jon Stewart legacy, don't you think he's created a, if not the Jon Stewart brand, the idea of this political satire, political commentary, using humor to deliver the news and attracting a large audience? Someone is going to have to continue that, right?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who steps into those shoes, and it doesn't look like there's any obvious choice. If you saw HBO yesterday, they announced that they signed John Oliver to a 2-year deal. I bet John Oliver got the biggest offer he's had. I bet you they were talking
they
back and
forth.
They
wanted to keep him there.
And Jon Stewart.
Do you like his show, by the way?
I do.
I do, too.
And he's a brilliant guy. I think he would have been a logical successor. I bet HBO had to go to the bank and take some more money out and give it to him to keep him. Yeah. And it was 2 years instead of one. So good for him. I don't know where they find that, but it's Jon Stewart has forever changed that conversation. And, you know, I'll say this. I have split feelings about Jon Stewart. One of the reasons is my profession, media critics, have by and large, especially my generation, behaved so poorly and done such a poor job that we opened the door for a comedian like Jon Stewart with a sharp mind and a social conscience to step in and take that turf from us.
David Zerwick is the media critic of the Baltimore Sun. He also blogs at ZonTV at BaltimoreSun.com. He has a post up today about the new Netflix season 3. David was up all night, had a look at the first six episodes anyway, and shared some comments about that with us today. You can find more at BaltimoreSun.com. David joins us on the third Wednesday of every month here on Midday for Midday on Media. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Dan.
And thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. And again, for your comments, if we didn't get to all of them, we save these emails and try to get to them on Friday and read them to you on Friday. So have a great afternoon. Stay warm. See you again tomorrow.
Midday senior producer is Nikki Gamer. The producer is Maureen Harvey. The associate producer is Michael Himowitz. Our interns are Carrie DeSantis, David Richmond, and Marjorie Goodman. Midday's engineer is Luke Spicknell.
Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcast and live streaming is available at WYPR.org. Dan Rogic's column appears in the Baltimore Sun. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.